Warning, this podcast will not turn you into a Nazi, but, you know, be safe.
Listener discretion is advised.
You know, it's really, really good to finally meet someone who gets it. Who gets me.
Well, apparently I've got this thing for, like, jumping to conclusions.
I can't stop thinking about that kiss.
Yeah, it's just that I've never...
I know, you're not gay.
I have never thought about bisexuality. I mean, for myself. As a scientist, I know that sexuality is a spectrum. But, you know, social biases, they codified attraction. It's contrary to the biological facts.
Yeah. That's oddly romantic. You knew this all along.
Welcome to episode 13 of Lonely Hearts, the Romance Comics podcast, the only podcast to my knowledge where four guys talk about romance comics and or romances in comics. I'm Siskoid. I'm surrounded by men.
It's raining, man.
Two of them are stinky, I think.
Yes, the hygiene levels are dubious. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Just introduce yourselves.
I'm presenting myself to the microphone.
That's Fern.
That was Fern, yeah.
I'm Bess.
And I'm Marty.
Learn the voices. Yeah. Today we're going to talk about Marvel Romance Redux. This was an attempt at humor. Attempt. We'll see if it's successful or not. This was a humor/romance project from Marvel in 2006. They came out with a collection called Marvel Romance, a trade paperback, of old romance stories that belong to Marvel, mostly by guys like Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Gene Colan, John Romita, the big names that eventually went on to do, or eventually, were also doing superhero work, were doing romance. And they came out with this collection with lots of stories in it, and then at the same time came out with five issues called Marvel Romance Redux with different titles. The one we've got before us is Love is a Four-Letter Word. They each had the subtitle. And those stories are basically the same stories, except all the dialogue's been replaced.
So same art.
Same art.
Everything except for the dialogue.
The dialogue and the captions have been replaced by more humorous writers trying to impose a different story on the art. We've chosen one. Some of these stories are just played for humor. And some of these stories have a comic book twist to them. Like in the issue we're looking at, there's a story about alien love. A lot of these file stories were from Patsy Walker. So it's Patsy Walker dating Satan. They found a way, looking at the art, to transform the story into something either more comic booky, more Marvel-like, or just to have the characters say more modern and amusing dialogue. In any case, we've chosen one of these stories. And we're not just going to look at the one reduxed story. We're going to look at the original story from, when is it, 1969.
Actually, that's going to be kind of fun, because the funniness, I think, well, I'll keep that maybe for later, but it's funnier to have read the original and then the Redux than just, I don't think I would have thought it was funny if I just read the Redux.
Yeah, the Redux is like kind of strange by itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, it's so funny. I do find it funny where, like, four guys are like, we're going to take romance comics seriously. Now let's see this comic mocking romance comics. Let's make fun of it.
Well, the original comics are also kind of easy to mock.
Yeah.
Even with their original dialogue.
They're kind of
dated. They're kind of paternalistic. We've had a lot of these stories already.
Yeah, they were written by guys.
And, yeah. You know. Yeah. So this story, just to set it up, The original story is from My Love Number 2, November 1969, and it was reprinted in My Love Number 14 in November of 1971. So it had been reprinted already. So I guess it's one of the better ones.
It's right? A good one.
It's a classic.
According to Marvel Comics, Marvel Romance Redux, the creative team was Gene Thomas, Gene Colan, and Bill Everett. No way. That doesn't look like Gene Colan. That was a misprint. So the actual team that drew the original story is Stanley was the writer, Don Heck was the penciler, and John Romita was the inker. Mm. And the story's called Jilted, and then they turned it...
It's a love story between Jill and Ted.
Jilted.
That sounds like an next Adam Sandler movie.
And then a writer called Paul DeFilippo wrote a new script... And now it's called Love Me, Love My Clones.
Oh, it's fine.
I thought it was like, it was going to be like Spider-Man the Jackal and, you know, fake yeah. Things, but it's not.
That sounds like the start of a very bad joke. Spider-Man the Jackal and Mysterio walk into a bar.
And then they clone Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Mysterio marries that clone.
Why not?
For no nefarious reason. He just does.
I want someone to clean my fishbowl head to the parts that I can't reach.
So one thing we've done is make separate romance comics theater pieces of each of these using the same actors.
Oh.
So you can tell the difference at home. So we're going to listen to Jilted right now, the original by Stanley and Don Heck, and then we'll come back and talk about that classic romance story.
It was the most tragic blow of my life to realize I'd been jilted.
It's over.
It happened suddenly, without warning, like a bolt from the blue. But my tortured heart knew it would be forever. Chris Danning was the boy I loved. The boy I'd always thought loved me. Until that awful instant when he told me it was over between us. I didn't know where to run, what to do, where to go. Not even the pouring rain could wash away my tears. Chris, oh Chris, you are my very life to me. There's nothing without you. Blindly, without conscious thought, I found myself stumbling through the storm-drenched streets until at last. Whitey's garage door is open. He must be working inside. He's the one person I can talk to, the one shoulder I can cry upon.
Connie, what is it? What's wrong? You're crying? What happened, little neighbor? Easy now, girl. It isn't the end of the world.
It is, Whitey. It is. It's the end of my world, my hopes, my dreams.
We've been next-door neighbors for years, Connie. You've always confided in me, told me your troubles. If it'll make you feel better to talk about it now.
I knew I could count on you, Whitey. If I don't tell someone, I'll simply bust. Actually, you know almost the whole story. After all, we never kept anything from each other.
Of course we haven't, Connie. That's what friends are for.
But now, there's nothing, nothing that even you can do. What can anyone do for a girl who's been jilted by the one boy she loves, the one boy she knows she can never forget? There are too many memories of happier times, which I thought would never end. Chris, slow down!
And let the other cats catch up with you? Never!
Each day was a new adventure, a new thrill. He loves me. I know it. I can feel it. And I love him. I just know I do. It wasn't long before our talk came around to serious matters. You said you had something to ask me, Chris?
Want you to wear my pin. To be my steady, Con.
He knew what my answer would be. Just as I did. Even before he asked.
Kathy, honey?
I always am when I'm with you. He was everything any girl could have ever wanted. Handsome, athletic, and so fabulously romantic. Oh, Chris, you won! You won! Yes, everything was as beautiful, as wonderful as I could have ever wished. The world was out of sight. I was young, happy, and in love. But I'm not telling you anything I haven't told you before.
That's right. You never stopped talking to me about him. But what happened?
What happened? The one thing I thought would never happen just a few minutes ago.
It's over, Connie. It's time for us to split.
At first, his words didn't register on my brain. But then, when the agonizing meaning sank in. Chris, what? What are you saying?
Do I have to draw a picture? Party's over. I want out.
The rest is just a blur. Somehow, someway, I made it here without collapsing.
Connie, being jilted isn't the end of the world.
Don't say it. Don't try to comfort me. What do you know about it? It's never happened to you.
No, not in the same way. But I know about sorrow. About loving someone without being loved in return.
What do you mean?
You little fool. What do you think I mean?
Whitey? Then before I knew it, before I could think or move or turn away.
I'm sorry, Connie. I had no right. I know you don't feel about me as I do about you, but if only I could make you see that being jilted isn't a tragedy. It can sometimes be a blessing in disguise. It can only happen when the love isn't real, isn't genuine. And isn't it better to find out?
I know he was speaking, but I didn't hear words. I only heard the pounding of my heart as it told me the truth, at long last. It's Whitey I've always turned to, always confided in, always depended upon. I thought of him as a friend, a neighbor, almost a brother. But now I realize it was always more than that. So very much more. Now I see what he meant when he said that being jilted could be a blessing in disguise.
The end.
Jilted, from My Love Number 2, November 1969, written by possibly Stan Lee, pencils by Don Heck, inks by John Romita. Connie played by Nat Coguin, Chris by Fern, and Whitey by Bass.
We're back.
Are we?
That was
fun. Jilted.
Oh.
I don't know anything anymore.
That's a beautiful storytelling right
there. Do you feel jilted? Pa-dum-pum-tsh.
Yeah, that's why you're the stand-up comedian and I'm not.
Oh, jeez.
So who wants to talk about this story first?
I want.
Go ahead,
Ryan. I'm going back to the cover.
Oh, yeah.
I love the cover where...
splash page.
That splash page is amazing where she's just running and I guess her ex now is just saying, she's like hearing, it's over and over.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
And the like exclamation mark is like bleeding. Like there's a blood drip from it. It's like, it's intense. This is the most intense breakup ever.
It's over, Jill. I have the high ground.
Yeah, I wonder if really the jilted title should have been red. Because it's red, it's a blood drop. But if you look at the story, there's an awful lot of water in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's raining. Yeah. She's got these giant tears in her eyes all the time.
All the time. She's
very gooey tears. So maybe it was supposed to be
a raindrop. Blue or white or something. But I guess red was more dramatic.
Yeah, it works with the yellow background. So this is basically the story of a girl who runs to her male best friend.
Yeah, this is mostly a flashback.
Yeah, and then she tells him how her current boyfriend, her Reggie, look alike.
He does look like Reggie.
And she's looking at Veronica.
Like, he's like if Reggie and Spock had a weird baby. Because he's got like the Spock eyebrows.
Yeah.
Chris, you're talking about Chris.
He's kind of a Dick Grayson type.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah,
he's a dick.
He's got the butt chin. Yeah. Strong jaw.
And so she did a lot of activities with this guy.
Yeah, like everything.
Everything. He was the perfect
guy. Yeah, he was the perfect guy. They played tennis. They went dancing. They stood in the forest. I don't know what that panel is.
That panel is just romance.
He's like, I want you to wear my pin. What pin?
He pins.
Did boys give pins away in 69?
Yeah, he did. He gave you a letter jacket. You gave the pin is probably like a school pin, football pin.
Yeah, he's the quarterback
to claim his territory or what?
Boys
did pin a lot in 69. I guess
69 there were pins in the 90s.
I wasn't
the
even born
in the 90s. It was pogs.
Yeah, or
I'll give you my pog.
What? No
promise rings.
No, I never gave pogs to any girl.
Man, well, it's like if you really liked her, you gave her your metal slammer.
You gave her your pog.
you gave her your slammer. Exactly.
Yeah. I guess see? Pogs are still a little bit early for me. I guess mine was like Pokemon cards.
Well, it's like giving
away... So you gave your Pokemon cards?
It's like giving away one of your 5,000 Bulbasaurs.
5,000 Bulbasaurs?
Wasn't that like the most common Pokemon ever?
No, it's Zubat. We're not going to get into this. Because Mike's going to go on some tirade. He's going to edit in some Transformers. Beast Wars.
That was the perfect date. You know, gave a girl your Bulbasaur and watched Beast Wars. That was a nice.
But here's the thing. You had no pin to give away because these guys are like the perfect high school couple where he's a quarterback and she's the head cheerleader and they're sporty and they're trendy and they're pretty
and they're everything. And
they've been together for a while because the first panel's like they're at the beach and then by the last panel they're ice skating.
Or so beyond because then it's like football season.
Yeah, football season.
It's like a year or something.
So they've been together.
Yeah, and well, she's and waiting for this is going to lead to marriage.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Gave her his pin.
That's
a promise pin.
I just like to mention that.
He gave her his pin.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So she had access to his bank account. I mean, this was a serious. This is a serious relationship.
Yeah.
This is.
I just like to note, Connie, in the start of the story,
right.
She goes by Whitey's garage and goes, oh, his garage door is open. He might be working. And in the first panel that we see Whitey, he is slumped.
Which is a terrible name, by the way.
Oh, yeah, definitely terrible.
It kind of sounds like a racial slur, if there were racial slurs for white people.
I mean, like cracker
that is one, but... Yeah.
Whitey's a bad name if you're young. Once you're old, it's okay.
Yeah, like, Whitey's...
80-year-old Whitey, that's cool.
Yeah.
But when you're 20, nah.
Yeah.
Hey, Whitey!
But the guy is clearly slumped over his workbench, so he's not working, he's asleep. And then she just starts screaming his name. He's like, and he has the reaction of, huh, what's going on? Where's the fire?
Well, that's
like,
okay.
They're
best friends.
He almost bangs his head on the hood of the car.
He is sleeping right there. And he's like, what's going on?
He's not sleeping.
He does look
a bit. He was working on his engine.
Well, I don't know what sleep at the engine.
Somebody washes his clothes because he would never work in a garage with a white shirt.
Well, it's got stains.
No,
it's got grease stains.
No, it goes away next panel. Yeah, so it's not there anymore.
Yeah, that's not stains. That's shadows.
It's shading.
Anyways.
Tufts of hair.
Ramita going all over the place with the inking.
Damn it, Don Heck. I got to cover everything up because it's awful.
Again. Why can't you draw something other than Dick Grayson?
I love the artist's name. Last name is Heck because then you can go, this artist's sick as heck.
Perfect relationship.
Right. They're perfect.
And then,
he just
out of the blue, out of nowhere.
It's over.
He's like, give me my pin back. Well, we don't know what happened. She never tells us what were the problems.
Are we missing?
Well, I think we're missing something.
She's not saying the whole story.
She's biased in this situation.
I don't think she knows the whole story. I think she's love blind and she's like, oh, I love this man.
I think this guy was like, you know what? I need to commit my life to Batman and fighting crime. I cannot be with you.
It's over, Connie.
All he says is, it's over, Connie. It's time for us to split. And then she's like, Chris, what are you saying? And do I have to draw a picture, you dumbass?
And he does. He draws a nice...
He says,
the party's over. I want out.
Here's the reason. Yeah, the party's over. So it's just...
I think that was his...
The bloom is off the rose.
Summer fling.
It was a year-long
fling.
Year.
Year-long fling.
Senior year fling.
That's a long-ass party to be at.
He's like, I'm going to be in college. I need someone serious.
Well, look at the relationship. It's just about having fun. It's just, you know, just fun dates. We're saying, oh, it's serious. Is it?
He gave her his pin.
Yeah, he asked her to go steady.
Did they do every activity and then he's just bored with her now?
Well, no, because afterwards they went ice skating.
That's not a good reason to just...
No.
Well, we're missing something.
That's why we're saying
maybe
Chris is,
he found another love, a better love.
Maybe
for him,
he fell in love with the
sea. Oh, maybe he's just an asshole.
Maybe he talked to Mr.
Whitey.
Oh.
Maybe Whitey's his mechanic, and he's talking about this girl he's dating. Whitey knows.
Well,
this is some 16 candles shit with Ducky, and it's just.
Well, she's quite dramatic.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, she turns green.
Coloring choice. Yeah. But here, look, when he's telling her this, it's really
it's
a shock face.
Out of nowhere. She has no idea it was coming. She's like, bam.
Take your shoes and get it.
Yeah.
She goes to her best friend. She says, I've been jilted. I'll never get over this.
Jilted is not a word we use anymore.
No, I don't think
so. I've never used jilted in my life.
No. You shouldn't. You're a lucky man. Perhaps you've never been
jilted.
No, I have not been jilted.
I have been jilted many times, Marty.
Well,
raise your hand if you've been jilted.
Whoop, whoop. Do you guys know a sexy mechanic?
Well, I don't like to play.
What is this? Man from Uncle? Okay.
Maybe your best friend right now.
So yeah, she goes to Whitey's garage.
In the rain.
In the rain.
She tells her sob story.
And then he sexually assaults her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no.
But he kisses her.
And
he goes for it.
But it's the expression on her face after she's just, it looks like
She's scared.
Actually, she has that face for so many panels.
Yeah, I know.
Persistent shocked face syndrome. So now she jerks away from him.
It's just a kiss.
It's a kiss.
It's just a kiss.
Just a kiss.
On the mouth.
He goes for it. He's like,
yeah. She's already hugging him.
Although it is like 2 minutes after she just broke up with a guy.
I mean,
too soon.
Yeah. Is it really too soon to mend a broken heart? Maybe she just needs more love to bring all the pieces of her heart together.
Maybe.
You know, that's what Facebook says.
Since these stories are rather...
male fantasy. Well, oh look, the girl I've been pining for the last at least a year for her duration of relationship with Chris or whatever, she's finally single. Time to make my move. Get him while they're wounded.
But he's just going, I mean...
He's a nice guy.
He's consoling her. It just happens.
He is a nice guy. He has a fedora.
He's probably fixing her car.
Where's the fedora? No, there's no fedora.
Because he's a nice guy.
Nice guys have fedoras?
No.
Actually, they're trilbies, but they call them fedoras.
No, stop it.
It's a point of contention.
Stop it.
Where are we?
I'm against all hats. Let it be known. This is on the record. I despise all hats.
Guess who's wearing a hat right now?
I feel... He looked at me in my eyes. He looked at me in my eyes.
Stared into your soul.
Bess is wearing a cap. A baseball cap.
Do you like caps?
All hats.
Is it a baseball cap?
No, it's a football cap. Well, it's a baseball. I was mowing the lawn. I have to put something on my head.
Yeah, he's mowing the lawn.
Montreal Alouettes.
He was mowing the lawn, too.
It's a CFL.
Alouettes.
Yeah,
because... For it's not a scary English name listeners, team. It's a starling. It's the Montreal Starlings.
Oh.
Isn't it cute? Mm.
It's cute. But yeah, he has no fedora.
Yeah, no.
No. But I'm just joking.
He's still... But you know what? The artwork in this is pretty good, though.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Yeah.
It's always moving. It's never static. I mean, it's beautiful art.
But it's Don Heck, but all the eyes are redrawn by John Romita.
Yeah.
So as soon as she says no stop, he's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He regrets... And though she, in her thoughts...
He says the classic line, you know, jilted isn't a tragedy. It can be sometimes be a blessing in disguise.
We're not so different, you and I.
He's presenting himself as an alternative.
Yeah, and though like, I can ice skate, I can dance.
She admits that she's only seen him as a friend, a neighbor, or almost a brother. Kiss of death. But
never romantically.
Yeah.
I think this is the psychology of the rebound right here. Those last three panels is now I see what he meant.
Yeah.
Boom. Kiss and the end.
I took notes that he was so deep in the friend zone, he was chilling in friend Narnia with friend Aslan. Just he's so deep in
and
there.
Yet.
Well, and yet.
And yet, she pulled him out of the wardrobe.
Yeah, because there is no friend zone. You know, that doesn't really exist. But
no, because being friends with women, oh man, that's like a terrible thing. Whatever.
What a curse. I'm a friend with...
Especially I'm a female friend. You know, you can't be friends with women. That's how it is.
I've been doing it wrong.
They can't be friends with themselves.
They can't. Exactly. You can't be friends with people.
If real friendship doesn't exist, what is this? Ayn Rand?
Are we not entitled to the sweat of our own brow? It's like, okay, dude, chill.
Are we not entitled to the sweat of our own friends?
Ayn Rand with sweat bottles. Keeping her sweat.
This is mine. You don't get
these
any
These are
of
my
it.
Friends' tears. I deserve these. Yeah. I made them cry myself. Oh man, we should write an Ayn Rand love book.
Well, it's gotta be. I want it to be shipping between Ayn Rand and Steve Ditko.
Man,
oh man,
objectivists in love.
BioShock 4 is gonna be so weird.
See, I was gonna go with Ayn Rand and Jim Steranko because then we
Jim Steranko isn't an objectivist.
No, but
he's a super spy.
He's also a shaman and a witch doctor.
I think Steranko should be like the hero of the story who...
Oh, he beats goes, up Ayn
yeah,
Rand.
Yeah, he goes up against the objectivists.
It's got a good buddy friend named Jim
Shooter. I'm sorry for all our objectivists.
Oh, fans. I'm not. Fuck them. I'm not.
Please,
fuck them.
Yeah, if you come identify me, with bro. Objectivism, whatever.
It's got to be a romance comic of objectivism. See, he was his friend for years. He deserves her.
That's it. Well, by this point, Stan Lee and Steve Ditko had gone their separate ways, so... Yeah. But was there an influence?
So if Stan Lee wrote this, is the girl...
Stan Lee may have written this.
Ditko?
He wrote a lot of comics at the time, and the Grand Comics database actually has Stan Lee? Question mark? So I'm accrediting it to Stan, but who knows?
Mike, he doesn't need your help to take credit for this comic.
No, he
so
does
I
not.
Thought, Whitey, yeah, that's a good name.
Stan Lee, creator of all the best characters, and Stripperella.
She gets her own separate category.
We're just kidding. We still want an interview with Stan.
Well, we better be quick.
Oh.
Aww.
We just too far. We took it too far. So that was Jilted.
Jilted was great.
Right? Only three characters.
Yeah.
A black-haired man.
Who has like two lines. Or it's like, here's my pin and I don't love you anymore.
A brown-haired man and a black-haired girl. Repurposed. Still on a rainy night, still full of flashbacks, full of activities. So now we're going to listen to Love Me, Love My Clones. Same art.
Same art.
Same mise-en-scène. And here it is.
He told me and told me and told me, love me, love my clones.
Love us all.
Love us all.
Love us all. Love us all. Love us all. Love us all. Love us all. Love us all. Love us all.
Sloan was the perfect boyfriend, or so I thought. But then I met his brothers... and learn that too much perfection can be hell. The feel of a dozen hands on my body, the memory of six pairs of lips on mine, the thought of ironing six times the normal amount of dress shirts. Not even the harsh acid rain of the mid-21st century could burn away these disturbing sensations. How I cursed the South Korean biotech industry, ultimately triumphant despite its early missteps. Through the streets of Silicon Valley, I blindly wandered past one garage startup firm after another, until at last, I think I read about this place in Wired. They're working on a new generation of androids.
Miss, we're not ready to issue our IPO yet. And if you're another venture capitalist... Oh, wait. I see you're an early adopter?
That's right. I've always been in love with technology.
You've come to the right place. Handy Andy is all about the bleeding edge. Let me get you one of our brochures.
Oh, not another glossy brochure. I'm tired of techno porn. Can't you just hand sell me on your product? After all, I bought one of the first Blu-ray players.
I don't often meet such a perceptive end user.
My middle name is Consumer Reports. But wait, let me tell you first about how a rival technology firm let me down. It all began with a day at the beach. Sloan Ditto was a carefree, happy surfer dude. All our dates were by the sea. Is this a melanoma?
A shot of nanites will take care of that.
But the next month, he turned tennis pro. This is weird. We're beating top-seeded players. Now he's dropped tennis for competitive ballroom dancing. I speculated that he had some form of benign attention deficit disorder. Do you think Ritalin would help you stick with a career?
Whitman said, I am large. I contain multitudes.
I followed Sloan faithfully through all his changes.
Happy, honey?
I suppose, but I really thought we'd pick up the gold. I even became a cheerleader when he was drafted into the NFL. Playboys asked me to pose.
And my steroid test came up negative.
By then I had reconciled myself to Sloan's unique inability to stick to any one job. I actually look forward to his next career change. But the bombshell he dropped next on me explained everything.
Don't tell me that Sloan was really some kind of cool hunter. They're such slime balls.
Much, much worse. He and his five twins were clones.
We rotated you among us, dear. It's only fair.
At first, his words didn't register on my brain. But then, when the agonizing meaning sank in, I guess it's just like serial monogamy.
Not good enough any longer. We have to have you all at once.
The rest is just a blur. I consented, of course. A big mistake. One Sloan was lovely, but six...
I assume Sloan was still under warranty?
He was, but the helpline was staffed by Malaysians. Making them understand took hours.
But in the end, you got some customer satisfaction? They helped you return them to the factory?
Yes, they even arranged the pickup.
Then you're ready for a serious upgrade.
Not without a demo. Like any good vendors, he would do anything to clinch the sale.
Certainly that little test drive must have convinced you of the superiority of the Handy Andy line. Oh yes, don't look so shocked. I'm not one of the owners, not even a freelance consultant. No, I'm model number 1701, the sensitive lover. You've already seen how well I listen. And I have so much more to offer an early adopter like you. Cyber love modules, pseudo-romance circuits, attachments to meet all your physical needs.
As model 1701 continued to vogue in a Zoolander fashion, I used the time to examine my heart. Was I ready for a new flirtation with techno-romance so soon after my latest disappointment? I had to remind myself that Sloan was not my first failure in the postmodern relationship department, just my most recent. There was that 1 year I spent as part of the group marriage of transgendered cultists. My affair with Harry, the horse chimera, my lost weekend with the sentient slime mold from Proxima Centauri. Do I dare to entrust my fragile heart to another vendor? Oh, what the hell? I could always power him down if he got on my nerves. I wonder what kind of financing Handy Andy offers.
The end.
Love Me, Love My Clones from Marvel Romance Redux. Love is a four-letter word, August 2006. Script by Paul DeFilippo. Art still by Don Heck and John Romita. Consumer played by Ned Gauguin. Clone played by Fern. Robot played by Bass.
Love Me, Love My Clones. So, same setup, completely different tale.
Yeah.
Who wants to talk about this one?
Better names.
Can I start again?
Go ahead, Marty. It's a mirror.
Yeah,
we're doing the same show twice.
Again,
welcome to Lonely Hearts, episode 31.
Oh! It's right. Oh, yeah. Wait. Does that mean you have to grow a goatee and we need to shave off all of ours? Like, we just shave off the goatee.
This is the universe. This is the darkest timeline where I have a beard and you do not.
Yeah. This is the good mic. Yeah. Like, this is the good one.
We have none evil Siskoid.
Yeah. But yeah, the cover, again, is very... I think he, like, based the whole story on the, you know, what they did in Silver Age, just make a crazy cover and just play with that. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what it is.
He saw the splash page is key.
He saw the splash page, was like, all right, this one girl with, like, five of the same guy with no context. Clones.
Yeah.
Clones.
Yeah. Instead of saying, what was the original?
It's over.
It's over. Now it's love us all.
Love us all.
Since there are five heads floating of the same guy.
Yeah.
Okay. There are five guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are clones who want to be in the six way.
They got good burgers.
Yeah.
I went to eat there like last weekend. Nice. It was really good.
Yeah. All I have to say...
Other restaurants are available.
Yes.
Oh, but five guys, man.
But five guys.
It was amazing.
Other guys are available.
I read this comic, and all I can say now is, I don't like comics anymore.
What happened, Fern?
No stars.
What happened, Fern?
Why, Fern?
This comic, basically, the writing is BuzzFeed came to life and wrote the script.
BuzzFeed? What? It's all made in animated GIFs?
When did this one come out?
2006.
2006.
Yeah, it just feels like... It's just non sequitur after non sequitur, and it's like, hey, I'm gonna do a joke. It just doesn't even really fit the art or the story. It's just joke.
Yeah.
And
it's trying to be too silly.
Fill the bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing that annoyed me is like, clones! And then it's not actually clones. They're like cyborg robots.
No, there are clones.
Yeah, there are
clones. He's a clone. Now, Whitey is a robot.
Whitey's a robot.
But Chris.
I thought he was a robot clone.
No, see, they changed the name. Now,
no, they changed the name.
Chris
is
now Sloan the clone. And the Whitey is Handy Andy.
An android.
So that's fine. We don't even know the name of this girl now. She's not Connie.
She's not named because she's just a techno...
She loves technology. Babble.
Techno freak. Yeah, she's had all these weird relationships that she admits to later.
Yeah.
With a centaur. And obviously there's like it's a Supergirl romance.
It's Chimera. It's not a centaur.
A chimera.
Chimera? I don't know. I'm
pretty sure it's Chimera.
I'm pretty sure it's not a mythical creature, but
I'm pretty sure you haven't listened to the Romance Comics Theater because
probably haven't.
It was pronounced.
but you know what? It's funnier than just the jokes. Some things are funny, like, you know, this startup in the garage.
Yeah, okay.
That's an actual thing that happens now. So it's kind of funny because it's, you know, it's...
Well, I like that now it's like the rain is like... They create a near future
yeah,
where these things could be possible. Even though the look is very 60s. Well, I mean, these styles return.
Right. Yeah.
That's not a bad style for today, actually, what she's wearing.
It's a 20-year skip. Like, 20 years from now, we'll all be wearing the same thing.
And so it's like, you know, now it's acid rain. We're in the mid-21st century.
Yeah.
So it becomes like this overwrought bad romance story from
the
future.
It starts off with her talking about how she doesn't want to have sex with 6 clones.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts off kind of...
But I think it's clever because those 5 heads, okay, they're clones, but it's more than that because it needed the sequence where she's doing all the activities.
Right.
You know, we were kind of mocking it earlier. Yeah. They're at the beach and then they're doing everything. Tennis and dancing and romancing and
but this
skating.
Time,
but this time it's all different clones
who
each have their own
thing.
Yeah. And they kept that from her. Like, each clone never said he was a clone until the end.
This is the story of a dating twin. And you don't know which one is which.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kind of toy around, you know, toy with the person.
Yeah, and she's under the presumption that he's just this weird flighty hipster that just next
this
year,
month I like skating.
Exactly. You know, I'm into artisanal coffee making, and then next month I'm gonna backpack the Himalayas. Which good luck getting a drive there.
There's a little shout out for you there, Fern. For you know, there's the Walt Whitman quote there from. From Song of Myself.
You know, is Walt Whitman... Are you a Walt Whitman fan?
Hell no.
Figured as
much. Also, I'm pretty sure it's Whitman, not White Man.
You know, there was Whitey, and then White Man. Yeah,
Florida's
Walt Whitman.
Best hero.
So you have never read Songs of Myself?
No.
Oh, it's a long-ass poetry thing.
You know I don't speak French.
It's beautiful. It's about self.
It's about self.
You should read it. It's
are there any titties, robots, or dinosaurs?
Well,
in it?
they're kind of in, you know.
I need all 3.
They're suggested. It is
there's suggested lasers and dinosaurs.
Yeah, well, kind of. You should read it. It's long and it's, you know.
If I read it before
it's
next
the gold standard of American poetry.
It is
19th century poetry.
Yeah, I guess. It's something. You should read it. I read it. I did, of course, take poetry classes, but, you know.
And how'd that help you out in the long run?
Oh, you wouldn't believe.
Well, you're in front of a microphone.
I'm
right
just
now.
Wondering what the contingent of our listeners, like, last week, the 2 last weeks, it was like Baudelaire.
Baudelaire.
And now it's
and
Whitman.
You know what? You know what? I have a football hat. I have a football hat on, and I love poetry. Deal with it.
Okay.
I'm not dealing right now.
Deal with it.
I'm going to panic.
Marty, it's okay. It's okay. Just visualize like a glass of orange juice in your mind right now. It's barrel-shaped. It's orange. It's delicious. Focus on that. It's
barrel-shaped. But at least these guys, the clones, aren't 6-timing her or whatever.
No, not yet.
They're only dating her.
Not yet.
Yeah, they're only dating her, but they're having some kind of like a relay race with her.
Yeah, it's like
and she's the relay.
She calls it serial monogamy.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, if you're dating the different people that, without your knowledge, that's not the definition of consent.
No,
that's not good. But, and then it's not enough for them. They want her all at the same time, which gets us back to the first panels where we don't know why she's panicking about having 12 hands on her body or whatever, 10 hands on her body, but that's it. That's going to be full on.
She did go through with it. She consented, but she didn't like it.
That's some Alan Moore, Dr. Manhattan shit.
Yeah.
But it's like the rest is just a blur. I mean, what was that night?
Well,
I consented.
You know what? Mm. If you're going in with 6 other people, you need a bottle of wine. I mean, I don't know anybody who...
Before and after.
Yeah, and during.
No, because that one dude just cut out.
He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, 6 dudes and 1 girl. It's a weird gangbang.
It's a sausage fest.
But they're all going out together, you know? It's kind of sweet in the way.
It's a 7-way. It's a 7-way. Right? There's 6 guys, right? So it's like a 7-way relationship. Polyamorous.
They all know her. They're clones. Yeah. It's kind of weird. It's a gray area of some sort. I don't know what, but it's a gray area of some sort.
And then she just falls in with the former Whitey, Andy. And Handy Andy is an android made for lovin'.
Yes, that's his thing.
That's It's fun, I guess.
Well, the fun part is when Andy asks, you know, did you get some customer satisfaction? Did you return your clones? And she says, yeah, they even arranged to pick them up. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just threw poor that clones away. Yeah.
Well, see, then at this point, if she was able to return all six clones, then she knew they were clones.
No, I think the original guy was factory ordered.
Oh.
What he wasn't telling her was that, you know, all his brothers were
part and parcel.
Yeah. Anyone could
get
a
It was a buy one, get five free.
Anyone can buy a Sloan. You're just not expecting to get more than one.
Yeah. And she had six. But then she has a little bit of a taste of the android, literally.
We call that being robosexual.
Andy becomes handy.
Yeah.
Handsy, yeah.
Handsy Andy.
And, I like the little nod to the Trekkies out there, because he's model 1701.
Aww.
Which is nice. I like that.
I don't get that reference.
The Enterprise.
1701, yeah.
What's the Enterprise?
That's the
spaceship. Okay, I'm kidding.
It's article nod. It's so she can look him in the eyes and go, let's engage.
I thought Marty's joke was bad.
And it was.
See, yeah. I'm showing you both sides of a really shitty coin. Sure. Yeah. Marty's one side, I'm the other side of that really shitty coin.
But it's in these thoughts here where she becomes the superhero comic romance girl.
Yeah.
She's Supergirl here, where the Chimera with the part horse.
Part man.
Yeah,
part
Harry the horse robot. Chimera, and then the sentient slime mold and whatever else. The cultists. So,
you're avoiding saying the word, but I'm going to go there.
Well, it's been said in the theater.
I'm actually angry at this joke because it's a group marriage in a transgender cult. It's the old crazy religious cult trope, but they figured, hey, what's new and hot in 2006? Let's put transgender in there.
Yeah, well, it's 2006. Just to update it.
Yeah, there's a Zoolander joke.
Yeah.
Zoolander
is timeless.
It has to be because this is the story takes place in the mid 21st century,
exactly.
Where Zoolander survives.
Well, yeah, they're on like the third film by that point.
Yeah. I highly doubt they're going to make Zoolander 3.
That's a very dated joke.
Yeah,
borderline offensive now. And
it is offensive. But not in 2006. But now it is.
Now it is.
It was in 2006, but we didn't realize it was offensive.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
2006. Jeez, I was 16. Right.
That's a long time ago.
So basically, she's the Supergirl or Bad Girl or whatever else the late 60s, early 70s superheroines were having to go through. As far as romances go, Dazzler was much later. She had normal romances, but the back in the 60s, as we saw with our Supergirl special, Supergirl was expected to fall in love with robots and horses,
mermen,
because that was comics at the
anything
time.
Anything but a normal dude.
Why can't she just go out with Ted from down the street? You know,
because he's going out with Jill.
Well,
Jill Ted.
Maybe
we've already talked about this pairing. We've already talked about this pairing. OTP, one true pairing. And their excellent adventure, and then their bogus journey.
So in summation, this type of idea, I mean, they did it with many, many stories in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
There were five specials with several stories in each of them. Mm-hmm. All of those stories in the trade paperback as the originals.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily pick the funniest one or the cleverest one or I picked the one with clones in it.
Yeah, okay.
Because good enough. I'm that guy.
It's good enough for us.
Yeah.
What do we think of this kind of replacement? Normally, today we would see this on, it'd be like a meme with just one panel and people would switch out just the one bubble. But
I think the actual base comic is good enough with the bubbles and everything to replace the dialogue for something else. I think the premise itself is good. I think that this comic had some good points with the replacement. Most of them dubious choices at best, as we've pointed out. But there's something there. This can be done.
Yeah. Well, in this case,
it's not a bad example. It's not a great example.
I don't think there are great examples. I think they're all going to be bad examples.
Right.
Because, you're taking something that's three quarters done and you're just replacing dialogue. It can't be perfect.
No.
Unless it's planned to do something like that in the future or something. Because it's always going to be a bad example.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think what they did do very nicely is how they took the same art and the same characters, basically, and they created an exact opposite of the first story. Mm-hmm. The first story is all about love and feelings and hurt. And, mm-hmm. and in this one, there's no feeling at all.
Yeah.
There are zero feelings.
The men are actually products.
Yeah.
The men are products.
Yeah. She wasn't jilted in this one.
Yeah.
She got rid of faulty equipment.
Just, yeah, yeah, just product. Just
it was still product. Under warranty.
But you know.
The clones were, yeah.
There's absolutely no feeling at all in this one. In the other one.
Yeah, the last kiss is she's thinking about how she's going to pay for this.
Yeah, it's mechanical. It means nothing. And I think that's when you just... when you compare the two, if you just take one, if you just take a clones alone, it's worth nothing. Like half a bag of dicks. It's nothing.
Clone dicks.
Yeah, clone
dicks. They're all the same.
But if you compare them, it kind of makes some weird sense then, because they're actually exact opposites. The first one is too mushy.
Yeah.
There's too many feelings in there. She's broken down and she can't live without Chris. And in this one, she actually doesn't want a man. She wants a robot or a clone that she can return, or in Andy's case, power down if he annoys her.
What I'd like to see is if we took this comic, the original comic Jilted, removed all the word bubbles, or no, keep the word bubbles there, but we blank them out. Even the yellow situation headers, everything. And give this to someone who has neither read Jilted or Love Me, Love My Clones, and say, write a story. Because I do know, I've seen this on Twitter a bunch of times, people who do English as a second language overseas, especially like China and Japan, in their classes, they'll give them 3-panel or 4-panel webcomic strips, blank out all the bubbles, and say, write me a story based on the art. And the kids are going to go and like, give this to kids. Give this to like an actual 13-year-old. Say, write me a story based on the pictures. I think that would be very interesting to see what they would come up with just from the art.
It's probably funnier than what they did with clones.
Oh, yeah.
Because no, clones, it was trying to be too silly.
Well, that's the thing. I like it. I like it, how silly it was. It was fun and everything. But I think you should have just stuck with one concept, clones, and then maybe have a discussion, like, continue on with the clones or something. Yeah. Not make him, like, an android all of a sudden. I don't know.
It was off subject a little bit.
It was, like, sound, like, pretentious, but it could have been more clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not follow story. I think it's true.
The clones story, of course, you know, us comic book nerds, we're all familiar with it. It's a familiar trope. It's like, okay, yeah. And they lead off with that joke and then completely abandon it. It was, oh, well, this guy's a robot and she treats him like a glorified sexy toaster.
There could have been more famous clone jokes. Like,
yeah.
It could have been like mentioned the Jackal and Spider-Man clones or Clore and stuff like that.
It should have been wall-to-wall clone jokes.
Yeah.
The other one, Jilted, in my opinion, tried to be too serious with all the sentiment and all the love. Mm-hmm. And this one is trying to be too silly.
Yeah.
So they, once again, they're exact opposites in sentiment. I think when you put them both side by side, they're interesting. Yeah. If not, Jilted is kind of old and wishful thinking, and this new one is basically
Jilted is the standard romance comic that we've read multiple times for the show.
Written by a guy with kind of this weird thing where you kind of feel like he had this girl he wanted to date and she had a boyfriend, and if ever she's, you know, and I'm going to kiss her, and it's kind of like wishful thinking, but that never happens in real life.
No, you never run to the airport, get through security, and make this wonderful love speech, and then she gets off that plane going to art school in Paris.
Trust me, if you do, you're probably going to have a weird-ass discussion about how that doesn't work in real life.
Yeah, because you can't get past TSA anymore.
Yeah,
taser your ass.
Exactly.
I don't care who you love.
But there are things when I was looking at. I actually put some thought in this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because both of them, Chris.
Chase your bliss, dude.
Chris,
go for
Chris
it.
The asshole. And Sloan the clone. They both have one.
That sounds
problem.
Like a shitty new millennial band.
Chris the asshole and Sloan the clone. They both keep secrets.
That's the name of their album.
And they both get, dumped.
Because, you know, Sloan the clone, it says, you know, I have five clones.
I guess Chris doesn't get dumped because he's the dumper. But what if he had a change of heart? It's too late. She's already in somebody else's arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Right.
Because of his secrets. Right. He becomes, you know, persona non grata. Right.
Well, because he never gives her closure. He just says, it's over. It's time to split.
Yeah.
So,
although, to be fair, like Marty was saying, we don't know the full story. Like, we just see this from her point of view, where everything was magical and great, and then he dumps her.
We can only assume this is the whole story.
Well, no, the story asks us.
Maybe
to
she has a horrible
that.
Habit. Like, exactly. We don't know. Yeah, maybe she likes killing kittens. Who are we shipping here?
I'm shipping Andy and Sloan the clone.
No, I'm shipping.
I think
Whitey.
Andy can handle six clones.
I think he can.
Well,
I think
he's also a series of androids.
Yeah.
He could also be duplicated.
I'm shipping Whitey and Handy Andy because Whitey's a mechanic, so he can fix his gay robot lover.
Oh, there you go.
See,
that's beautiful.
I know. If only we all had gay robot lovers and were mechanics.
And
if only.
Another parallel that works well is that, you know, Whitey the racial slur and handjob Andy.
another man.
They both shut their mouths and just let that lady talk a little bit, and all of a sudden they're kissing her. So I think that's another great thing that, you know, kind of comes.
What's great here?
Well, they have the same body language. Obviously, well, it's got to be.
I think they're more respectful, maybe. Of
I love
the lady.
That you went full Bowie in China. Go, shut your mouth.
Although they both have a tendency to mansplain stuff, you know?
Mansplain.
Oh, yeah. She's all crying and she's like, you know what? Here's what's going on.
Could you imagine?
And six
clones.
He just tells her. How it is. And
that's just like, I'm sad. Yeah, you're sad. But that's a good thing right now. Let's make out.
Because after he talks for like three panels, and then she only thinks. It's only thought bubbles. Yeah. She never says a word afterwards. Because he mansplained everything.
She just kisses him.
I've been jilted. It's the worst feeling in the world. Actually.
Have you ever had your balls cut off? That's the worst feeling in the world. I don't know.
So you peeps at home,
you poor people at home,
you tell us if you'd like us to cover and do double theaters again on some more of these stories. It's certainly possible.
Yeah. It is, I think.
Huh? If you like them. But also, I'm kind of wanting to do your experiment with a 13-year-old rewriting the dialogue.
Yeah.
And then we could do a theater on based on that.
Oh, that would be funny.
You know, like if any of our wonderful listeners have children at home, give them some crayons and this story with the bubbles.
Well, I can erase all the bubbles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll be in the supplemental, right?
Probably some of them. But I mean, I can
like not the whole thing. Maybe a few choice panels.
Contact us.
Yeah.
If you want a virgin copy of this comic with everything removed, all the dialogue removed, although it's kind of harder for the screams at the beginning, you know, love us all.
Yeah, that's
I can't remove it. I can't remove that. But
maybe I can do it, but
I'll find a way.
Yeah,
I'd love to see the story rewritten by like a 7-year-old.
Yeah,
rewritten by a 13-year-old.
Yeah,
rewritten by your grandma.
Yeah. And then Marty's going to do one. And then Bass is going to do one.
And Fern's not going to do one.
And then we'll get the theater troupe together again.
I'm just going to put gifts in each of the bubbles.
You're going to put horrible, horrible things in there.
So that's like a future episode. It's possible.
I'm like,
contact us with if you want to curate a part of this, a chapter of this.
Do our
saga.
Jobs. Thank you.
I don't have access to an English-speaking 7-year-old.
No, nobody has. We're grown men. If we had access, that would be a whole other...
I know French.
Don't use the term access to 7-year-olds. Please don't.
Oh, Marty. You're such a word snob.
Oh, you're such
a word snob.
You know how I feel right now? I feel jilted.
You know, I know French-speaking kids that age. You've got a French-speaking kid.
Yeah, well, he's four. He's not going to...
4 years old is the same as 7 years old in my mind.
It's not. This is all going to be about Star Wars and how
Lego.
This guy looks like Han Solo. And
dude.
He's a white guy wearing some white shirts, and we could probably doodle on a black vest.
Dude, that sounds great.
Do you want
me to make her look like Chewbacca?
My kid could probably, if he spoke English, would probably listen to the Star Wars podcasts
and be able. He knows everything. It's scary.
He's got a. Is there a word for Star Wars fans?
Yeah, he's a Star Wars fan. He's a Jedi.
I guess Trekkies have a fun name, but
yeah. No, he's going to
be Star Wars. Starries?
You know how a lot of kids.
I call them assholes.
Oh, what?
Hi, he's Ryan Daly.
He's four, Fern.
You know, Ryan Daly would love my kid because he can handle Ryan. He knows all the bounty hunters.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Does he know Chen Lumbeck?
I don't know who that is, exactly. But he probably does.
Anyway, the invitation is out there. If you'd like to push this further, we're game. You can contact us via the usual channels, that is to say the fireandwaterpodcast.com site.
Yes.
As we are part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Yep.
You can also contact us on Facebook, same thing. Fire and Water has its own page, and Lonely Hearts has its own page.
Yeah. And we're also on Twitter with hashtag FWPodcasts, plural.
Those are ways to contact us about this episode. After the break, we're going to look at your feedback for episode 12.
Yay.
Ooh. We're taking a look at our mailbag.
All right, everybody, unzip, put them on the table.
I need to go pee.
You can look at your mailbag by yourself, Marty. It's okay.
They're called privates for a reason.
Star Wars, give me those Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars, don't let them end. Star Wars, those great Star Wars. Talking about Star Wars on a podcast.
I'm Ryan Daly, and welcome to...
And I'm the Irredeemable Shag.
Dude, what are you doing?
What?
Give Me Those Star Wars is my show.
Well, you're part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network, so it's really our show.
But if you show up on the promo, people will think you're the co-host.
I'm not?
No, the show will have rotating guests.
You just took that idea from my Justice League International podcast.
You took that idea from my Secret Origins podcast.
And you took that idea from Dead Both and Spies.
That was my podcast.
Wait a minute. I sang the theme song with you.
So?
So, technically, I appear on every episode. I'm part of the foundation of this new Star Wars show.
That's true.
So, you want to take this from the top, or what?
I'm Ryan Daly. Join me and a galaxy of guest stars on Give Me Those... including the Irredeemable Shag, whose voice you will technically hear on every episode, on Give Me Those Star Wars...
the official Star Wars show of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Available on iTunes and Stitcher and at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Mailbag!
Mailbag!
Woo! Was that lump always there?
Now that we have been checked.
That's how we check
our mailbag.
Turn
our mailbag.
Your head and cough.
Oh, mail.
Yeah. Bounce. All right.
We got a couple of new iTunes reviews.
Woo! Fucking right.
From where?
From
iTunes.
Parts unknown.
No.
The United States.
You have to switch your country.
Yeah, United States of America.
That's a tiny country, right?
Small.
United, I don't know why.
United.
United we stand.
States for sure.
They should just be named States of America.
So States of America user DS and RS says, the romance comics from four guys' points of view. A fun little podcast that manages to truly have fun with romance comics with making fun of romance comics. Listen to it with someone you love or by yourself. Either way, you will have fun.
Aw, that's nice.
No, I'm reading highlights from all of these.
Okay.
There's just we get too many comments these days.
It's good that it's fun.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, what happens if I break up and I'm sad, then we're all just four lonely guys. Yeah. Will the podcast turn sad?
Yeah, probably will.
Right now it's just bitter.
Bitter?
It's kind of bitter.
Don't say stuff like that. It might happen.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's called self-fulfilling prophecy.
You guys might get a beautiful new wife.
No.
This isn't my beautiful wife.
This is my beautiful house.
Yes!
Piper Ruth on iTunes with the title, I'm in love.
Oh, good for you.
well, you know. With the podcast.
Oh.
Sad smile.
My condolences.
The podcast that fills the void in my life I didn't know I had. Having heard Siskoid on other shows, I decided to give this a listen out of sheer curiosity, because I'm a curiosity. Mm. I don't regret it, as it was a raucous ride that was a lot of fun. Siskoid and company shed some light on this neglected genre, and I look forward to hearing their takes on comics. comic book romances.
You're our fucking John Lennon.
I'm the gateway drug.
You are.
Yeah, yeah.
Of the show.
You're the...
They're not going to find me from my other podcast. Nobody listens to my Beast Wars podcast.
Not yet.
Wait, we were supposed to do that together. You just did it without me?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Nobody did anything.
Only true Beast War fans are allowed.
Then why did I get this tattoo?
Stupid Beast Wars. This will come up a lot. Episode 12 was our show where there was a lot of things going on in episode 12, which I think personally was one of my favorite of our shows.
Yeah,
which
one was fun.
Episode 12, we talked up the book.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Secret Loves of Geek Girls.
That was great.
We had the interview.
Yeah.
We had an interview in there. We talked about four different strips in Secret Loves of Geek Girls, which included a lot of different realities. And so we talked about a lot of different things. And then there was like that stupid Beast Wars inside joke, recurring gag.
You can't just say Beast Wars.
Did you
just Beast Wars!
Did you say stupid Beast Wars?
Yeah.
You know,
maybe you misheard me.
I can go through Animorphs.
Stop it. Stop it.
You know,
we don't actually have to have any Canadian content on the show.
No.
This isn't...
Well, Beast Wars wasn't Canadian.
It was.
Beasties. Beasties was Canadian.
Animorphs was Canadian.
Canadians in the 90s really had a thing of things turning into animals. Yeah.
Oh, if Manimal had been a Canadian show, it would have run seven seasons.
Exactly.
It should have been.
Especially when, you know, at the end of Littlest Hobo, when he turned into a car and drove away.
That did not happen.
Before going into the Twitter and Facebook blog...
Are we going to go into Google Plus
here? I want to go Google Plus because...
Did we?
Vera Wild, our good friend Vera Wild, friend of the show, left a longer comment on the blog, but just stopped by on Google Plus to bust our Google Plus comments and likes cherry. Was it good for you?
It was. Vera, thank you.
Wow.
But we also got a Google Plus from Glenn Walker. So
wow.
Thank you, Glenn Walker.
He's Bits Boy on the Legion of Super Bloggers.
Ah.
Yeah. So on Twitter, Warlord Worlds, which is the Ruth and Darren team that did our Romance Comics Theater last time, said we had a great time stretching our acting talents, quotation marks, on the latest Lonely Hearts.
Thank you very much.
It's a good one.
And they thanked us for the opportunity. Martin Gray there said, it's unrelated to the episode, but says he'd like us to do a Gothic annual each Halloween season.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Are we going to have a Christmas? We should have a Christmas
We
episode.
Should. We should.
We had a Valentine's episode. Aired 3 weeks
Aren't
after.
They all Valentine's episodes?
We're at least three Doctor Who fans, so we have to have a Christmas episode.
For me, it's, Rip Hunter and Legends of Tomorrow. Why isn't Doctor Who like this?
Well, it is like this. It's exactly like that.
That's what tomorrow is, just Doctor Who.
I know.
With superheroes. I hope Doctor Who makes an appearance.
On Legends of Tomorrow?
He could.
Technically.
Legos.
Facebook comment. Only one. Trevor Owen Williams, who was one of our new subscribers, says, I've been listening to comic podcasts for a year or so, and when I heard this one, yours, announced, I could not have been less interested.
Wow.
Thank you there, Chris.
This is a strong start.
Trevor. I had the same thought. Thanks, Trevor. When I said, I want to be on a podcast.
But I finally had to listen. What is it? Some kind of backward masking, casting spells on us?
We don't look good in fishnets.
Because he can't explain why he liked it so much.
Well, I can explain it. Marty has +2 to charisma. Mike has +4 to intelligence. Fern is barbarian.
No. I have unarmed proficiency fighting.
And I have cooking. So all this put together makes us like a nerd super team.
We're
like a chili risotto.
I don't even know what that means. On the blog, Marty.
Wait.
Marty's sitting right here.
No. Said, Mike Arsenault didn't leave a comment?
Eventually. Not on the Facebook.
Mike Arsenault, you are on fucking blast for not commenting.
Mike Arsenault is not going direct to the blog.
No, I mean, we were talking about Facebook comments.
I know, but why does he need to leave a Facebook comment when he leaves a blog comment?
Oh.
Mike, you're fine with me. I don't know who you are, Mike.
You're still on blast.
Fern's
still on blast.
Just angry at life.
Yeah, Fern doesn't like you anymore.
But there's a comment from Marty who's sitting right here.
Yeah.
He said, you guys should really talk about Beast Wars more.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
it's right. There's a love story, like reincarnation.
Oh, stop it. Somebody else wrote in about that. Okay. Okay.
Annual Beast Wars episode.
I'm going to go direct to that, whoever that...
There might be Beast Wars comics.
There are.
Oh my God, let's get those.
Yeah, freaking Clinton Robinson. from Coffee and Comics blog. I love the guy personally, but his tastes include Beast Wars, so screw that. He says, there was not enough Beast Wars in this episode. Yeah, I feel cheated. Yeah, and then he actually went on to say, honestly, Beast Wars actually could be covered by the show. Because there was an on again, off again romance between Silver Bolt and Black Arachnia. Yeah. But anybody whose favorite character was the Ant and not Waspinator needs to have their head examined. I don't know who loved the Ant here.
The Ant was the guy who calls Megatron a queen all the time. Yeah. Waspinator is the character was like, Waspinator!
He was also possessed by Starscream's soul at one point.
Yeah, that happened.
Mike is just slowly descending further. Then to I madness. Told him
it's romance comics.
Yeah.
Right. So, Beast Wars is a show, not a comic book. And, well, there were several comics derived from the show.
Shit.
He left a link, which I will not check, but if you want to go on fireandwaterpodcast.com, the link is there. You can check out, or just, you know, wiki Beast Wars comic, like a normal Googler.
See, we got regular Mike back. The goatee Mike with the hat. That likes everything, he's gone.
Yeah. And he would love you guys to do your own goddamn podcast about Beast Wars. Nathaniel Wayne checked me by saying, no, Siskoid, Beast Wars is life, to whatever I was saying about Beast Wars. Beast Wars is shit. So, I'm sure there's more Beast Wars stuff coming, but let's go back to where we were on the sheet. Chris Franklin from the Supermates said, I've never considered the soap opera aspects of romance comics made their way into superhero titles, but I can see that. I'd say that had a lot to do with Stan Lee, who was writing and loosely plotting, at the least, Millie the Model, Patsy Walker, and Amazing Spider-Man all at the same time. He also mentions the comics, the romance comics theater, saying the Sutherlands did a nice job on the segment, but I think this story may be the worst or the most chauvinistic one yet.
Yeah.
The bride didn't know her husband's occupation before marrying him. He never apologizes for being too rough on her, and she just rolls over and takes it, saying she'll follow orders from now on, definitely written by a man, one who probably drug his wife around by her hair. Here's the Mike Arsenault bit that you were hunkering for. It's a question.
Oh.
So you get to answer it.
Do you guys love Beast Wars?
Nope.
That's the answer is yes.
That is not it. He says, do you guys follow any of the romance webcomics out there? Because you did mention Girls with Slingshots. He says, like, there are a ton that are barely disguised excuses for pornography.
Yes.
But that have relationships and ongoing soap opera-ish storylines. Anyways, do you guys follow any of them today?
Today, no. Although that Megan Carter, I've been planning to go and look at her stuff. I still haven't had yet because we've had a busy few weeks in recent history of other stuff, as you can attest to. There was one, it was called Something Positive that I used to follow, and it was basically about relationships and stuff, and I haven't followed in on it for a while. I think it actually ended. I'm not sure. Yell at me in the comments if it's still going on. You know, that's fair. I deserve it.
I kind of fell out of my webcomic thing a couple years back, and, you know, because when I was doing one, I was really into it. But after a while, I just kind of...
Hard to keep up.
Yeah.
Comes in waves. Yeah. Like, I'm sure in a month, I'm just going to go on you read, tear. Like,
and all the good ones...
You read, like, 50 and...
All the good ones, like, the artists, they often do this, the webcomics, when they have time to do it. And, and the good artists and writers, they kind of get jobs writing and doing comics. So they kind of stop, and I don't have...
I binge read webcomics sometimes. You find a really good one, and then you read it all, and then you're up to date, and you're like, oh, I can't just click next anymore.
Yeah,
I have to wait, like, a month.
I had that with, I think it was the Abominable Christopher... about Abominable Snowman or Sasquatch named Christopher. And it was great because the character never speaks and he's just in the forest and he's just a Sasquatch and meets a dog and it's a little baby wolf cub and it's great and it's super emotional. And then I hit the end and I was like, wait, no, you can't do this to me. No, I need my fix. Come on. Give me another one.
And there are no more.
Yeah, nope.
Then there's Rob from Film and Water.
Mm-hmm.
He just reacted, oh my God, the Sutherlands. You're very popular podcasters.
Oh, they're the iTunes RS and DS.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. That's their iTunes name.
Well, it's an educated guess. Yeah.
No, you're right. Yeah, I like to use like real couples in the stories, and then I make them be kind of mean to each other. Because the script calls for it. Darren actually wrote in to say, we had tons of fun with it, and I have to applaud Rue's commitment, since she had 80% of the dialogue. It's often is the case. Yeah. It's usually from the female narrator point of view, not necessarily a writer's point of view. All I had to do was be mean to her periodically, something that she usually doesn't allow. So I tried to make the most of it while I could.
Good man.
Living the dream. I get to say mean things.
When it's all in good fun, it's good.
Yeah. We had Ryan Daly write in from, Secret Origins and Bring Me Those Star Wars, says, now I want to read an English translation of Baudelaire's French translations of Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh my.
Just read Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh no, that's bad.
God
that's
damn it, bad. Guys. What's wrong with
you? Ange from Comic Books Commentary said, I can't believe Edgar Allan Poe just got bashed. And then he went on to spoil Legends of Tomorrow for me, which I'm not going to reread because I've managed to kind of almost forget what he said.
Okay.
But it was a nice little story about his kids shipping the characters in the show.
That's I'm not up to date either with Legends of Tomorrow, so I don't want to.
We don't want to.
Yeah.
But it's devastating. But it's all right. About if you are up to date or don't care about spoilers, go check out the Fire and Water Podcast .com to read the full story because it's quite nice and it's about expectations, watching it with your kids, and the kids are shipping basically, and then stuff happens to destroy the ship or to make the ship not happen or
we call it to happen. Sinking the ship.
Really? Is that
no?
What it's called?
I have no.
That's
fucking clue.
Awesome, though.
I went with a boat pun. We sink that ship.
No, you can either sink the ship or sink the ship.
It's a friend ship.
The S-Y and C-H. Yeah.
That's why you name your iPod the Titanic, so it's sinking.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Illegal Machine from Rolled Spine said,
favorite type of machine.
Said Siskoid, referring to writing comics as a geek endeavor, was terrific, and Rolled Spine Empire sounds amazing. Well, you can have it. I get Hope's point that nonfiction-based love stories have differences from traditional romance comics, but there's absolutely tons of overlap, according to him. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that's given you a title for your stupid Beast Wars podcast.
Ooh.
He says he looks forward to Besties and Beasties.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Wow. No.
That's a good one.
Don't you want to jump in on that?
You know what? I could be the guy who discovers Beasties and Beast Wars.
Yeah, because I watched the show.
I didn't really watch it. I watched like 3 episodes and I thought it was kind of stupid, but now I'm ready watch
it. You and Mike, and then Mike's going to eventually get Stockholm Syndrome about Beasties.
Mike's never going to watch it.
Vera Wild chimes in. Mm-hmm. She says, this was a really interesting topic. You guys touched on comics related to LGBT romance, and it's something I hope you'll look at more in depth in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a subgenre where you're most likely to find something analogous to the classic romance comics, since LGBTQ is a niche market where simply altering the gender dynamics can make what had become tired story cliches fresh again, or at the very least more tolerable, because let's be honest, a cliche is still a cliche even if you drape it in a rainbow flag. That said, Hope is correct that most LGBTQIA are autobiographical in nature, and whenever you're dealing with somebody's real life story, it's generally not going to conform to the structure in the same way that many of these classics you tackle do. Still, if you ever go there, I think you'll find that LGBTQIAPK is a growing community, more and more letters as the comic goes on, is a growing community with some fantastic creative output, romantic and otherwise.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. The only thing about, we're kind of silly, and it would be so easy to offend somebody.
I think this very episode might have been offensive in some ways.
We are
people who love Beast Wars.
The thing is, we're very inclusive. We don't really care.
Oh yeah.
You know, we say stuff, and if we're reading like a lot of stuff that's LGBTQ+,
IAPK.
Yeah. Up here in Canada, we just put a plus at the end.
Most people put pluses, but now it's more inclusive to put them all.
Yeah. I mean, we're all in there,
I just like to clarify a point. When Bas says we don't care, we care. We just don't use these factors as anywhere to judge you as a person.
No, it doesn't factor into
are you a good person? Yeah. Then I do not care if you are any of these letters on this wonderful rainbow.
Exactly. Acronym. That's what I mean by I don't care. But you see, doing that all the time would break down jokes forever, and it would never be funny until nobody cares. And then it'd be funny.
Oh, yeah.
Either way, I want to check out more.
Yeah, we all.
And
we can find some.
We tried to balance it between older comics and then newer comics. Obviously, the older comics don't address this stuff.
No, of course not.
So, and maybe some manga. We've been threatening to do manga for a while.
I can't do manga.
Well, we're going
to
do it.
Why? You don't know when to start? Like,
I can't.
You start at the
to
end
me,
and
it's
you
slower leave. Anime. I can't.
Slower anime.
It's one frame.
That is true.
It's black and white slow anime.
It's black and white slow anime, and I don't particularly care for anime all that much.
I don't care for it at all.
Anymore.
No, I'm the only anime fan in this group, I think.
I used to be an anime fan.
I like the better anime, but I don't get excited about it.
No, I don't
even. Well, everyone likes the better anime.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean... I don't say all anime sucks. I don't get excited about anime.
As a person who read manga, I could find like a good one.
Yeah, you and Frank can probably find good ones.
They're actually amazing little strips, like something we do more, they're amazing little romance strips in the manga style.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to review a whole... Like,
no.
Those are thick.
No, I can't.
No, it's going to be romance-based. And obviously, many of these comics have non-heterosexual relationships in them.
Yeah.
So maybe if we... Anyway, that's one access to,
get us
to more of these
comics.
The weird thing about manga is they sexualize differently. Like, manga is more for girls, so the guy's always, like...
Marty's gonna get us some yaoi.
It's more like an art style thing that I don't get. It's not really the relate because I never read.
Their stories are very much the same as these ones, but the art style's like instead of you know over here everything's like male power fantasy, big muscles,
of course.
Jockey guys. But manga, the guys are like they all look like Loki.
Okay,
basically.
Remember back in the 80s where if you were in a rock or hair metal band, you were wearing women's clothes and more makeup than your female fans?
Yeah.
Japanese manga.
Okay.
All the boys are effeminate David Bowie looking dudes.
Okay.
You know,
so
everybody's
chunky. Poison.
Yeah.
Everybody's poison in Motley Crue.
Yes.
And that's the
leather
thing.
Pants.
That's the beauty standard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's,
you know, there's not
that's
chunky 80s, dudes like us.
90s manga, but now that's not. Stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Anime hair is not really a thing.
Not anymore.
Not that much.
It's the eyes. I can't get
Well, you find us something that we can read.
I'm sure.
And we'll cover it.
Yeah. Big eyes.
They have big eyes because the eyes are the windows of the soul, and they just really love bay windows.
Yeah. And then there's Martin Gray, who says, great episode. The book sounds fascinating. A lot of people, actually, I skipped over it, but a lot of people were interested in getting and reading the book, which was part of the mission.
Support, Canadian stuff.
Yeah. It's great stuff also. So.
Yeah.
And what a lovely voice Hope has. Mind, it doesn't compare to that of the Sutherlands. Everybody's going goo-goo for...
Although we're good.
Yeah. Methinks you've discovered a binary star, such mellifluous, educated tones, such easy sexiness. I bet this pair could act out plop and make it seem the most romantic thing ever.
Jeez. How much did they pay you to say that?
Yeah, Martin, are you on the payroll? I hope you're listening to Warlord Worlds and to they've got a news and it was awake Tales podcast as well.
Wait, is it a podcast about Warlord the comic?
They've got a podcast about Warlord the comic, and they've got a podcast now, a new podcast about, you know, Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Ooh, I love Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Yeah, they just started up, so
Cars
that's easy to
dinosaurs.
Find.
Do they have on their Warlord's podcast a count of how many times he gets conked on the head per issue? Because I feel it's like at least three. Conk. And it's just big bold letters. Conk.
Start listening and commenting. And you too can do the same here at Lonely Hearts. All the ways we already said, fireandwaterpodcast.com, the Facebook page, or on Twitter, of course, or Google Plus. Apparently our cherry's been busted.
Popped.
Or you can just leave likes and shares. We like those too. They're not as fun to read.
No.
No, but they're fun to have.
But they're quick to read.
If you want, we can start a Patreon and you guys can give us money.
I don't want money.
Shit,
I do. I don't want to make money.
I do. You can have none of it.
If we start charging, we have to assure quality. We cannot do that.
Number one.
Then we'll have
second,
money.
If we're making money, we can't start doing those, using all the clips that don't belong to us. So you better pop out a guitar and start writing themes because we can't use everybody else's.
Well, I got 5 minutes.
This is a not-for-profit. So, Facebook likes and shares. Clinton Robinson of Coffee and Comics Blog. Commie and Comics Blog. Commies and Coffee is another...
starting that way.
Coffees and Coffees.
So, thanks, Clinton. Also, Jonathan Brown, Gene Hendricks, Ryan Daly, Sam Lowe, Shag Matthews, Warlord Worlds, Rob Kelly, Chris Franklin, Professor Alan Middleton, Mike Alcino, Sean Emmons, Nicholas Brom, Lorraine Daly, Warlord Worlds. Again, I gave him two shout-outs. Also, Xenozoic Xenophiles.
Oh my god.
Is the name
with Xenophile then.
X and X. It's Xenophiles. Xenophiles. Wow. So that's easy to find. That's a Facebook like and share. In other words, they've got a page. Trick or Talk, which is also them. That's another podcast they're doing. They're doing more podcasts than we are. Dale Russell, Paul Scavito, Rose Sutherland as herself.
No.
Joe Crawford and Trevor Owen Williams. And on Twitter, we got likes and shares from Spanky.
Yes.
Fiona Adams, who we talked about. Yeah. Oh, cool. That was her nice. Strip. Hope Nicholson,
nice.
Who edited the book. J.R. Bryan, Xenozoic Xenophiles, also a Twitter account. Uh-huh. Warlord Worlds, they've got a Twitter account. Trigger Talk, and they've got another Twitter account. Okay. Ange and Illegal Machine.
Whoa.
No Diablo Frank, he's late this month.
Oh, wow.
No, he just listens later. Oh. So we'll get Franked.
Whenever he can draw a hot eventually. Bath and
we'll get Frank. Well, it wasn't comic book, like mainstream comic book based, so maybe Diablo Frank doesn't really know about.
He's also got a podcast about independent comics. They don't do episodes very often, but he used to work in a comic book store, had his own comic book store, I think. Okay. So he knows all sorts of comics.
Oh.
He can frank us on any given topic. Dude, it will happen.
Most of the time, I'm
happy to be franked.
I'm par with him. I'm like, yeah. He uses big words, though. I
love every interaction he has with us. It's always fun. It's always entertaining, if, you know, not pertinent.
So you reach.
Yeah.
As we say in Trek Talk. It's a space hippie thing. Whatever. So, those who know, and the other guys at the table don't.
I oddly know. I don't know why.
Hey, man,
I
watched Star Wars this year. I don't know.
That's not the same. I know you did. No, you did. So, thanks for listening, peoples.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a few weeks with another riveting romance-wrapped
and
topic.
Theater.
And the theater, of course.
Alliteration.
Thanks to all the participants, and... good night and good luck. Go out into that dark night.
Beast Wars!
Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
We could have gotten a Polaris sub that fits two kids for $7.75 shipping in this comic.
That's true.
Yeah, but add inflation, that's like $500 today.
It's essentially a Power Wheels that can fit two kids in a pool that shoots real torpedoes and fires rockets.
Well,
and it has electronics on board.
And is a drown hazard.
Well, buyer beware.
Well, yeah. $7 still, you know what?
Well, $7 in 1969...
Yeah.
Or 71, whichever.
If you don't love your kids, you buy them that.
Exactly. You got health insurance.
You know, go down to the bottom of the pool.
Captain stays with the ship, man. Make them both captains.